In a world where you're stranded on a desert island with your arms stuck in a rock and a titanium knife, two men are there to tell you what to tell them so they will pick your ass up.
Hey, this is JamesFitzGerald.com.
And, in case you fucking forgot who the hell I am, this is Couch Potato Mike. From CouchPotatoMike.com, YouTube, and Yo Mama's Bedroom.
Yeah, it's, when the last time Mike was on?
It was back in 19-dickety-2. Yeah. We had to say dickety because the Kaiser had stolen our word for 20.
Yeah. It's been a while, but I can guarantee that Mike will be on this episode and next week's episode, which will come out a day early.
A day early.
2 days early if you are a Patreon or Surround Punk Army member. We'll talk about that in a second.
But why would it come out a day early?
Because it is our yearly Halloween special that many of you look forward to.
This is Halloween.
And, by releasing it 1 day early on Tuesday, it comes out on Halloween, so.
So you hear that, Matt? Next episode, get your son to listen to it.
It's gonna be a hoot and a nanny. You guys will enjoy it. It's fun. It's another good episode, so.
But no spoilers.
No spoilers, no.
No.
No, 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 no.
And if you want to get it early, join the Survival Punk Army.
Yeah. You can. I started uploading them to the Survival Punk Army and Patreon a day early. So somewhere with it'll be on the day early. Sometimes more hours than less hours.
Now, what's this Patreon you're telling us about?
So I created a Patreon. It's a different way to support the show. If the Survival Punk Army, which has several membership levels, including $5 a month and $50 a year, is too much for you. But you do enjoy the Survival Punk podcast and blog, and you want to support the show in some way, you can join Patreon for $1 a month.
A dollar a month? That's amazing. Who the hell couldn't afford $1 a month?
I know. At the dollar a month, really the only benefits you get at that level are a hearty thank you from James and Mike.
And crisp high five.
Crisp high five. And you get access to the Patreon page and get those podcasts a day early. So
a day early.
Yeah. So that's
because
one.
Who the hell can wait that extra 24 hours?
Yeah, and
we're amazing
with the $5 benefit. You get all the stuff the Survival Punk Army members get, and there's new things like I'm going to be recording an extra podcast a month, a live Q&A session. You get discounts on merchandise when I release Patreon only and Survival Punk Army merchandise.
Oh my god, I can't believe it! $5, what a deal!
Yeah, so. Join that. Help support the show.
Support it.
Running the show is not free.
No. I mean, it's free to listen to, but James here has got to put a lot of work into this.
Work and money. Like, web hosting. I had to increase my web hosting to do some stuff because Google is penalizing people that don't have SSL certificates. None of that makes any difference to use guys. But to not get penalized, I had to pay for better hosting. The email list, that costs quite a bit of money. It takes money to run the podcast, and it's basically a labor of love, but having money to support it helps.
Yep. I mean, he's been so broke on the podcast lately, he couldn't even afford to have me on.
I know, yeah.
You have to pay that coke and whore money.
Yeah. I think one of the goals I'm going to put on Patreon is, like, at one point where I can actually pay Couch, like, you joining Patreon will ensure Couch Potato Mike is on an episode at some point in the future. Like, it'll literally be like a contract. Like, Mike, you're contractually obligated to be on this episode. Here's your episode money. So
sweet.
Yeah,
so, I likes money.
Yeah, everybody
I always
does.
Needs money.
So what else? Oh, so another way you can help support the show and look fucking cool while doing it is go to teespring.com/survivalpunk and get a hoodie or t-shirt with Winter is Coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. You're going to want a sweet survival punk hoodie. Yeah. But if you want to save a few bucks, about 10 bucks, you can get a t-shirt. They are the limited edition Survival Punk logo in red on the front. And on the back it says, our personal favorite best model of all time. Catch it, Mike, what is it?
Use guys?
DIY to survive!
Oh, yeah, that one.
The first part of it, not the use guys.
I'm sorry.
I may make a limited edition Jeff Radke shirt that says, DIY to survive.
Use guys!
Yeah. The hoodies are 30 bucks and some change for shipping. The t-shirts are 20 bucks and some change for shipping. You can apparently, and I didn't know this, you can pay extra.
You can pay extra.
You can pay extra and have it shipped like right now before the campaign is over.
Hell yeah.
I've already seen pictures of one delivered. And I just started the campaign a few days ago, so I was like, how did it even get there?
Looked damn good on that bald man.
I know, yeah. Way to rep, buddy. But, yeah, that's, and I, so I'm torn right now. I'm torn.
Oh, I've God. Made Do enough, I need to call the
I've,
doctor?
I've made enough sales from hoodies and t-shirts Sweet. That if I order a hoodie, my hoodie will be free.
Oh my God.
So do I take my profit and use it for the show or do I buy a hoodie?
Oh my God.
So yeah. But yeah, check out Teespring and get your hoodie. And one last bit of news keeping before you get in the show.
There's more news?
There's two things of news. Damn it.
Damn it.
If you have a question, concern, or comment for the show, call us at 615-657-9104.
And leave a voicemail.
And leave a voicemail with a question, comment, or concern.
I mean, do it. Do it now, do it often, do it twice.
Yeah, I've got one or two to play in the near future. So yeah, 615-657-9104. Give us a call. If you like the show,
And why wouldn't
and or
you?
If you like free stuff, go and to iTunes, leave us a rating and review, send me an email with your username that you use to review this show on iTunes with or Stitcher. Stitchers or iTunes, whatever one, if you leave us a rating review. Send me an email with the name you used and your address. I'll mail you a Survival Punk sticker.
Huh.
Free shite.
Who doesn't love free shite?
And with that... With that, let's get into the main topic of today's show, which is...
Signaling for survival! Bible! Bible!
Good job, Michael Buffer. Old school WCW, WWF. He did them both. He was a whore, right? He did everything.
Oh, he did wrestling.
He did everything.
He did boxing.
No, yeah.
He made his whole fucking career going out there for the people in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to podcast!
Indeed.
But he said Rumble.
Yeah, he said Rumble.
But we're podcasting.
And I'm pretty sure that WWF owned the Rumble part, so I'm not sure how he got away with that, because I'm positive he said Rumble in boxing and now, WCW, right?
He owned the phrase.
He owned the phrase.
Yeah, he had it trademarked.
Wow.
Only he could say it. People could remember DX for a while, Degeneration X. They turned it into "Let's get ready to suck it."
Oh, yeah,
you couldn't say the Rumble part because you'd have to pay him.
Nice. Nice. Is he dead? Where's he at now?
I have no idea.
Anyway,
I don't watch rings.
Wrestling.
Sports. Wrestling.
Yeah.
I haven't watched wrestling in a year. I tried to watch it again a couple of years ago, but it was just.
That's
swear to God.
That's kind of where I got the. Oh, my God.
Randy Orton was on top of the world at that point. He was becoming a very boring wrestler. He'd get in the ring and just go through the motions, and it was stupid. I'm like, almost every episode of Monday Night Raw was the same for a while.
I'm pretty sure WCW is where I got the sort of the catchphrase like that I use on the internet, the slogan for the Survival Punk podcast, the most electrifying podcast on survival entertainment!
Yep, that's some straight-up rock.
That's some straight-up, yeah. So yeah, signaling for survival. Kind of going back to some of the survival basics. No fringe stuff. Not bashing feminists this episode. This episode.
Yeah, not yes. This episode. That's a temporary reprise out there, you silly snowflakey feminists.
Yeah.
Well, so much for not bashing them.
Yeah. So yeah, signaling for survival. I was looking through my old list of ideas to do for shows and articles, and signaling survival stuck out, and I was like, we have not covered an episode on basically how to signal and how to get rescued. Actually, you know what? Doing an episode on surviving, getting lost, extricating yourself, self-survival, escaping and evading and getting rescued. That would be a good topic that I think we're going to cover in the near future.
And by the way, everybody out there, all you guys out there that do like bashing feminists, just want to say, find me at Couch Potato Mike's No Ma'am on Facebook.
Yeah.
Join there. It's awesome.
And soon, Mike will be launching his Teespring campaign, the No Ma'am shirts.
Fuck yeah, the Couch Potato Mike No Ma'am shirts.
Yeah. Get those limited edition ones. But yeah.
I don't know which way I'd want to do it. Do I want the couch potato on the front, or do I want the No Ma'am on the front?
I would do couch on the front, No Ma'am on the back. That's funny. On the couch, the doghouse, yeah. So, signaling for survival. Not covered it. Very important. I mean, so one of the reasons we get into survival is to improve our chances of survival.
Yeah.
Mind is blown, right? Yeah. Crazy thought. A lot of situations, you know, car breakdown on abandoned highways, you get lost in the woods hiking.
I've seen porno movies that start like this, man.
Yeah, lots of things could happen, and you want to get rescued. We increase our chances so that we can survive on our own, but in some cases, you're going to want to get rescued. I remember years ago, I was watching... you know what? I think it was Bear Grylls' other show.
Yeah.
Not Man vs. Wild. Well, I think he's had about 17 shows.
Let me get Bear Grylls. Time to drink my pee.
What was it? He talked about situations that people got, like, injured or hurt in. And what was it? Like, worst-case scenarios with Bear Grylls. That's what it was. And it was from the worst-case scenarios, people. Like, it was... Them and Bear Grylls together doing a show.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I heard about that.
It had some really good episodes.
Interestingly enough, there was a show like that that I saw where it had, like, a different survival expert on every episode because both Bear Grylls and Les Stroud had their own episodes on it.
Oh.
Which I thought was weird that they actually had them on a show. Unfortunately, not on the same episode. That would have been gone horribly.
Yeah. I would, you know what?
Love to see dual survival with them too.
I would love to see a special about that.
Yeah, you just could not pick two more opposite survivalists than Les Stroud and Bear Grylls.
No.
One starves to death, the other will eat anything.
Eat and drink anything, yeah.
If it's still alive. I'll never forget him biting into that fish and its guts squirting out its gills.
Yeah.
Oh, that bastard.
Yeah. So, one of the episodes I saw that made me think about this is there was a guy that was just bicycling.
Bicycle.
He was just riding his bicycle, took a weird spill, and pretty much fell off of a mountain. It was a giant hillside. This motherfucker made it all the way to the bottom of the hill.
Oh, God.
Pretty much like his leg was a jellyfish when he hit the bottom.
Well, you think?
Yeah. And I mean, he wasn't, you know, like... You never plan for most of these things. You're like, I'm just going to go out and play some frisbee golf in the woods.
All I can think
about... And you fall off a mountain.
All I can think about is Homer Simpson on the skateboard falling down, hitting the rock wall of the Springfield Gorge. All the way down. Then they load him into the ambulance, and then the ambulance drops the gurney back off the damn thing. Yeah. Just hitting every fucking jagged edge on the way down.
Which is weird, because I was thinking about that scene from the movie Hot Rod, where he was dancing like that one... Kevin Bacon movie and then fell off of a mountain.
I've only seen that movie once. I don't remember a lot of it.
I remember it all.
But I will watch it again. I will.
I may or may not have it on DVD anymore.
Will.
So yeah, we don't plan. We don't plan to be in the survival situations.
No.
And in some of these situations, like the guy on the bicycle, you're not really going to be able to just go back home. You're going to need help getting there. You're either injured, that Rawls guy, the 127 hours guy.
Oh, yeah.
That had to snap and break his own arm off.
Yeah, he had not prepared to be out there for days and days.
No.
He was supposed to be out there for an afternoon.
Yeah.
A day of spelunking.
We can prepare to give ourselves the best chances, But then there's Murphy, and Murphy says, fuck your survival chances. God. So
no, he had like a couple of frozen burritos and a couple of bottles of water. And by the time he took his last bite of burrito, he had like two bottles full of pee.
Yeah.
That he was really not wanting to fucking drink.
And he totally drank them.
No, I've never actually seen that movie. I just saw the fucking, like, it was a Dateline special or a hard copy or some shit like that. It was one of those big, you know, prime time things.
Yeah.
They did a whole fucking special about the real dude. And I learned his story, like, years before the movie came out. And it was just so, it was so fucked up. I want to see the movie just to see how graphic they get with it. Because, you know, it's a graphic tale.
No, I mean, they use their best, like, props masters to...
I mean, because there's no way a man cutting his own fucking arm off with like a fucking dull ass knife and a fucking pliers and shit like that. And there's no way that's just not going to be graphic.
No. They made a fake prosthetic arm that had all the tendons. Like you saw him like take his pliers and grab the tendons and snap them off.
Yeah.
And break the bone and pull it apart. Like it's
they. Oh God. Now, the part that shivers through my spine when dude was actually talking about it, he's like, when he got to the fucking main nerve that goes through your arm.
Yeah.
And he had to sever that son of a bitch, and he touched it with the pliers, and just, he's like, a lightning bolt went through his entire body.
Blah.
Ugh. Could you imagine having to cut a fucking raw nerve? I mean, a raw nerve.
Yeah.
A raw, exposed to daylight nerve.
I want no part of that.
No, we're getting way off topic.
We are. So...
Signaling wouldn't have done him any good. He was way down underground.
True.
With his arms stuck in a rock.
True. But he... Well, yeah, he ran into some people when he got out.
Well, maybe if he'd had some pocket flares or something.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that.
But he was
that.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So, so in survival, we all know the rule of threes. And in signaling for survival, the rule of threes comes into play as well.
Yes.
It's... Well, I mean, we'll talk about SOS in a second, but... Basically, that three sound pattern is well recognized. If you hear that, it's usually not a coincidence. It's deliberate. So it's a universal call for help. If you have a gun, you take three shots with a space in between so that people know you're not just like a really bad hunter and you're just like trying to unload on an animal.
Like, bam. Bam. Bam!
Yeah, and then you take a break after that. And that's a signal. That three sound pattern is a signal, and it's, you know, SOS. SOS is a dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, yep. dot, dash, dash.
Yep. Dot, 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 dash, dash, dash,
yeah.
dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
It's three groups of three.
The Save Our Souls International Distress Signal.
Save Our Ship.
It says save our souls.
It was originally meant to save our ship because it was a Navy thing.
Save our shit.
But now it just means save our souls.
Three short, three long, and three short signals.
Or shit on a shingle.
Yeah. Shit on a shingle is good.
Yeah, if it's done properly.
Yeah.
Creamed beef or chipped beef on toast.
So yeah, remember that. And I'm damn near positive everyone listening to this show knows the SOS and how to do it. Do it with your flashlight, do it with anything you have to signal with. If you have a mirror and you're signaling, you know, three short flashes, three long flashes. Flashlight, three short bursts of light, three long bursts of light, three short bursts of light. You know, and if, it gets, you know, if you're whistling, three short whistles, three long whistles, three short whistles. Yeah, not just just plain blowing on it, you know, for a long bout. People might think you're just being an asshole. They may not know that you actually need help. So at least blow in a three pattern, if not going SOS. So that people know that you do need help. You could get really frisky and learn Morse code, but how many people can decipher Morse code just randomly like that? So I wouldn't really recommend it beyond SOS.
Or if you're a woman, you could just scream, oh no, my boobs have popped out.
Yeah. That'll get someone over there.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah. Three, SOS. Fire. Fire is the big way fire, everyone thinks.
Fire.
When you're trapped, like, what is it? Castaway, the old Disney Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, God.
Every survival movie in history, really, especially desert island survival.
They didn't have monkey butlers on Swiss Family Robinson, did they?
No, I think that
I think
was...
I'm confusing an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Monkey Something.
I want my monkey butler.
That was I think Bart's
Lord of the Flies. The Lord of the Flies episode. Yeah.
Game of the Flies.
That'd be a horrible game.
It's always fire based. If you're ever, you know, and God's sake, if your plane goes down and you end up Tom Hanks on an island with nothing but a volleyball for a friend, you build the fire. I mean, if you're on an island that has a ton of fuel, you know, if you're on like just the island of like nothing but trees, fuck, just run the fire all the time. Just mm-hmm. keep it going.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason to ever even let it go out.
Nope. I mean,
that's a surefire. It's a surefire way to make sure you're noticed. Having that fire going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep it going all the time. If you have less fire, build it and have it ready to go in case you need it to go. And then in that case, you probably need to have a way to rapidly start fire. Whether that's, you keep char cloth, you keep something. You have the way to make the fire going mm-hmm. at a moment's notice and to get the attention.
We've discussed in the show many, many ways of making fire.
We have. Either one, run it all the time, or two, have it built and ready to go at a moment's notice. And so
I think personally, especially if you're like on a strand, you know, deserted island sort of thing, I personally think you should have one fire going all the time and a couple of more fires in strategic spots that are ready to be sparked immediately.
I like that idea. I like to have – I would – depending on the situation, you know, we can all couch jockey this question being in the situation. But
that's the thing. If you're on a ship and you're a lookout or whatever and you see a fire on an island and all of a sudden you see two more fires pop up right along the coastline, rule of three.
Rule of three, yeah. I would definitely want to have one built and ready to go that wasn't the one that I was using for survival, the one that I wasn't cooking food on, the one that I wasn't boiling water on. So you have a pyre for attention, and then you have your survival fire, mm-hmm. your campfire, if you will. And it depends on the time. So if it's at nighttime and you see a plane flying over and your pyre you've built up is loaded with green material on the top to shoot up nothing but smoke to get attention, plane might not see that. So,
you know, and I'm glad you brought up planes flying over, because that raises another good point. Sometimes fires just aren't enough. Especially, okay, like, we're still on this island, okay? get your debris. Spell out a giant SOS on the beach.
Yeah.
That's unmistakable.
I've got that listed later to do that for sure.
And you know what the awesome thing about SOS is? It looks the same from both sides.
It does.
It's ambigrammatic.
Yeah. So, you know, you could have two pyres built, or you can have a pyre built if you're going to build one and then signal it with your green material not on it. So that if you see something at nighttime, you want your fire to be just basically, you want to shoot flames as high into the sky. You want to have as bright of a fire as possible. Whereas in the daytime, you don't want that. You want to build your fire with all the dry material and easily combusted material and stuff that will burn a long time. And then,
especially something that's going to make black smoke too.
Yeah. And then cover it with, depending on what you have available, green tree browse, leaves, all that stuff. Green material produces a ton of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, anytime you go into the woods anywhere around here, you'll find tires. A tire will produce a ton of black smoke.
You know, that is a great tip that I got from Les Stroud on when he was reenacting. It was on that exact same series that I was telling you about, that Bear Grylls had an episode and Les Stroud had an episode. He was going through these it was reliving basically this. A couple and their baby had broken down out in the middle of fucking frozen wilderness. They had taken a wrong fucking road, ended up out in the middle of nowhere. And, yeah. It was so bad. The man and the woman, they wound up losing all their toes from frostbite. And he went and, you know, he's like, and he was showing how to fucking
take shit from that car to use for survival. Yeah.
Cannibalize the car. And maybe it wasn't from that. No, I don't think it was actually from that, but on a different. Maybe it was just an episode of a fucking Survivor, man. He showed how your spare tire can be cannibalized to make one hell of a signal fire, because that fucking tire will burn for, oh, God. It'll just keep going.
Yeah, one of my, just to let you know how much real smoke and visibility that a tire will produce, one of my favorite top 10, maybe number one.
I wouldn't stand too close.
Number one. April Fool's Day pranks of all time in history.
Oh, God.
Some old curmudgeon motherfucker in Washington State, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Over, like, the period of, like, a few months to a few years, started gathering tires, hauling them up on the top of Mount St. Helen.
Oh, God.
And made a massive tire fire. Everyone in the surrounding village thought for sure the volcano was going off.
Oh, my.
And he did this on April Fool's Day. And, yeah, it was a pyre, giant, massive amount of... I'm pretty sure he got in some real shit for that one.
Oh, you think?
But, yeah, it literally made so much smoke that people thought the volcano was going. So, if that gives you an idea of how much smoke and signaling potential you can get with
jackass.
A tire. Yeah.
That takes some... That's some determination and effort right there.
You know what? I almost want to, like, I want to create a GoFundMe campaign. GoFundMe/April Fool's Day joke. GoFundMe to hire the real men of genius to make a song about that dude.
Oh, my God.
Real men of genius.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius. Real men of genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Volcanic Eruption Guy. Mr. Fake Volcanic Eruption Guy! Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah. We were making fun of them guys recently.
I have all these old tires. What do I do with them? I know. Let's scare the hell out of everybody in Washington State. Oh, God, we're gonna burn up!
Yeah. Mike's going to record that song, and we're going to put it out on an album. so, yeah. Make sure you're tailoring your fire for your time. And like I said, I would build my basic pyre, you know, all your kindling material, the stuff that's going to burn a long time, have it ready to go, not load it up with the green material right away, or build two of them. But obviously, if it's nighttime, there's an airplane flying over, and you're stuck with all the green material right on time, you don't really want to be pulling it off. Yeah, let's signal that.
Yeah, let's...
So, yeah.
You need to do something about your screensaver time.
Yeah, I probably need to elongate it.
That's what she said.
So, yeah, that's fire. Fire is a great way to get rescued. Next up is audible signals.
I thought you canceled your audible account.
Actually, I just did, like, yesterday after I used my credit. Wow, we're making long time.
We make long time, but not like that.
Like we said, there are a couple ways to get people's attention, audibly, via noise. Sound waves travel pretty far.
Oh my God, every time you talk about getting someone's attention, I just remember you. What's the best way to get a woman's attention? Set her on fire.
Yeah, that was funny. Jordan had something on his, he had a cobweb or something on his face, had to get off.
Yeah, he's been a messy face all morning.
Yeah. I'm gonna wash you, Jordan. You're gonna get a bath.
He's starting to get a handlebar mustache, have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
His whiskers are curling up at the end.
Pretty
soon he's gonna be fucking tying women to the railroad tracks.
Handlebar wax it. So yeah, if your lot, so say you're hunting, you have a bad axe, you know what? I'm going to give you a scenario that really happened. Years ago when I worked at a store somewhere in Clarksville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
we had a manager there that was out for a while and then came back in a wheelchair. And what happened was he was up in his deer stand.
Oh, God.
Fucking fell out of it and just basically shattered his ankle and then had to crawl out of the woods, and I think he drove himself to the hospital, to be honest. But yeah, his fucking ankle was just shattered. He was in a wheelchair for months, dude.
Oh.
So that happened to you, and you were far enough away that you couldn't just drag yourself to your truck or whatever. You know, you have guns with you. Guns make a loud sound. Like we said earlier with that three-shot way to make signal. You know, you want to take a shot, wait a little bit, take a shot, wait a little bit, take a shot. And then wait a longer period of time, do it again.
Do they still sell starter pistols?
Yeah.
Those would be great for signaling.
They would. And you know, if you have a starter pistol or a flare gun that I didn't even put on this list, both of them make sound and, well, one of them makes light, one just makes sound. But yeah, starter pistol.
Oh, my God. There was you ever see the old show Night Court?
Yes.
There was an episode where Dan Fielding, the assistant DA, he got stranded out in Alaska. I forget why he was I think he got called into active duty. He was like a weekend warrior or whatever.
Oh.
And he got called into active duty and he was stranded up in Alaska at this fucking hut with these people. And there was this Eskimo woman about to go into labor. And a plane's flying overhead. And he runs outside with the flare gun and shoots straight at the plane and hits it and makes it crash.
Oh, God.
So just don't shoot the flare gun at the plane. I'm just saying.
No. No. But a flare gun can be useful to make fires. Obviously.
Oh, God.
That's an easy way to set off your pyre.
That's one of my favorite episodes of Survivor Man, was when he was surviving in the Cook Islands.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of, he had pocket flares.
You mean the only time he ever ate?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. The kind that you just pull back and release and it just fucking... And he was using those damn things to fucking set... I mean, he brought them to demonstrate, you know, how handy they were and how compact. But he was just using them to start his fucking fires with.
Yeah.
I mean, it would start a fire fucking instantly. Oh, God. Yeah, he ate like a goddamn king on those episodes.
Yeah. So that's one way to do it. But yeah, just use the gun to signal. One of the most important parts of your survival kit ever that nobody ever has.
What's that?
Is a fucking whistle.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the, like, the least flashy bits of kit you can get, but useful.
Actually, not nobody. I have a whistle in my bag.
Yeah.
But it was an accident. The one big, I can't fucking remember, it was a DeWalt maybe, I don't know, it was a big knife that I got. It came with these two things.
Not a DeWalt.
Whatever the fuck it was, I can't remember. But it was a fucking, you know, it came with these two things. One was like a flint striker, mm-hmm. you know, for starting fires. The other one was for sharpening the blade.
Yeah.
But each one of those is also a survival whistle.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some whistles laying around here somewhere, but I don't have, I have whistles that came with things. But I don't have dedicated whistle for signaling. And some of the jet scream whistle, I don't have it's the signaling stuff isn't the flashiest, coolest survival gear to get. But I think the jet scream is the loudest whistle on the market and you're guaranteed to get someone's attention with that.
I mean, hell, worst comes to worst and you're on a budget. I mean, those cheap whistles like your fucking gym coach used to fucking use.
Like a buck or something less. Yeah.
You could find, plastic versions of those for like really fucking cheap. They have them at the Dollar Tree, I would imagine.
And just get a few and just throw them in all your kits in your car everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, even if you think you're a champion whistler, or by God, let's say you're the world champion yodeler and you're lost. You're going to get thirsty and dry mouth, and you're not going to be able to yodel all the time, whereas whistling is easy to do.
I might, I would like to take this moment to take us back to the movie Titanic, which will be the second time I brought it up in this episode for some fucked up reason. But right at the end, when Rose is in the water, half frozen to death, Leonardo DiCaprio is already a fucking popsicle. He's already dead.
Yeah.
And the fucking rescue people are coming out checking for survivors, and she's trying to yell help, but because she's so frozen, her fucking voice, she can't fuck. Yeah. But she finds a fucking a whistle hanging out of a dead dude's mouth. That whistle was the only thing that fucking helped her. The only thing that made them find her.
So get off your asses, go on Amazon, I'll have a link in there, and buy a jet scream.
Mm-hmm.
If you're too broke for that,
Any whistle is better than no whistle, but don't just depend on the whistle God gave you.
Yeah, yeah. Don't assume that you can just whistle loud enough, because even if you can, then shit could happen.
I mean, I can whistle really good. I can, but I don't think I get enough good volume off of it.
Yeah, and consistently and long enough. And if you're also dying of – if you're freezing to death, you won't be able to whistle probably.
No.
If you're dehydrated, you're not going to be able to whistle.
No. There's a lot of things that can cause you to not be able to whistle.
Yeah. And the last one I have under signaling audibly would be to have a radio or a phone. It may not work. Or it may work great. There's no reason not to have it. I just recently got a Baofeng. I recently got a Baofeng UV5RA.
Is that the thing that we talk on?
Yeah.
Huh, that's cool.
It's a ham radio, programmable. I do not have a ham license, but Mike has a MERS radio, and I just programmed in the station and talked to him. So
yeah, we use them like walkie-talkies.
That's what they are, yeah. With a programmable one, you know, it gives you the ability to scan stuff. So, you know, and a ham radio in the wilderness, in the woods, you may be able to pick up some pretty far channels. Probably, you know what? If you, it would behoove you and myself to get a ham license. But by God, if you're stuck on an island and you have a ham radio, and you don't have a ham license, you know what? Use it illegally. If the FCC comes and tries to arrest you, you've been saved.
You really have.
You know, it's in that case, I would say go for it. The only times that I would advise you to ever use a ham radio to talk on ham frequencies without a ham license are, one, you're going to die and you need to be rescued, or B,
you're in the movie Pump Up the Volume.
And C, if it's the apocalypse, fuck it. If there is no FCC to come after you, then there's no FCC to come after you.
Oh, the FCC won't let me be, let me be me, so let me see.
Oh, we hate Eminem now.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, he released an anti-Trump rap, to which Senator candidate Kid Rock released a comeback freestyle rap.
Kid Rock's trying to become a senator?
Kid Rock is running for, like, Senate of Michigan.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And ICP has turned into socialist. So
what do you mean?
There's a giant Detroit rap battle coming.
Oh, Jesus fucking H. Christ.
It's like 1999 all over again.
The battle of the white rappers again?
Yes.
Why is it that the white rappers always go crazy?
And they're all from Michigan.
Really? Yeah, I knew fucking Eminem was from Detroit. I didn't know where the ICP was from.
Yeah. Somewhere Michigan, and then Kid Rock is from Michigan.
I thought he was from Oakland.
Michigan.
Yeah.
It's the Michigan rap battle.
Oh my God. Michigan white rappers.
That's okay, Michigan. You know what? We got you. We got Haystack.
Oh God, yeah. Fucking Haystack rapping about fucking white
car full of white boys.
Oh God. Brings up both Waffle House and fucking Crystal in that fucking song.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna find that and
make that our theme song for an episode. That'd
you know what?
Awesome.
I might play it in the end credits, because what's Haystack gonna do? Sue me from prison?
It's all in front of, he's in prison?
He got arrested. I think his career went over.
Fucking
car, yeah, anyway,
full of white boys.
Yeah, so have a radio. It, you know, batteries die, and your whistle and your signal mirror, and we visible haven't got there yet. Your signal mirror that we'll talk about in a second, you know, they're not going to run out. Like if your whistle runs out of battery, you're dead. You are the battery. If your signal mirror runs out of battery, the sun is gone and you're dead. You know, if you have to get stuck on a desert island as our sun dies, you're fucked anyway.
That'd be fucking horrible.
You're out of
a fucking desert island. There's a fucking ship coming. You got your signal mirror out. Total solar eclipse at that moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, we just had that solar eclipse, so
that
I mean,
would
not
be
just, but it's still fresh in my mind.
That would be a clusterfuck there.
Oh, God.
So yeah, visible signals. Visible signals are the last one here, really. Gonna dig dive. We're gonna play 1980s game, guys.
Diggity dig dug, dig dug, 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 dug,
Dig Dug, starring Bruce Willis.
Fuck yeah. You know you'd watch that.
I would. So, Amir.
He's alone in the ground with a bicycle pump.
Yeah. Amir. You can get mirrors. There's the Star Flash. There's actually a kit you can get that has...
Oh, I loved him in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I've seen it priced differently. I don't know if you can even get it anymore. There used to be a bundle pack where you can get the Star Flash, which is the signal mirror that's really good. It has a peek hole in it. So you can look through the mirror to see where you're flashing at instead of just sort of like aiming up and gauge. Like you can look through it and aim. The jet scream whistle and, that hand. There's a, what is it? The Sparky? The hand? There's a fire starter that's, you press it down.
I was right. It was a hand dribber.
You don't have to like use a second hand. No, it's not a fire piston. It's a fire steel. But instead of having to use like a knife to scrape the sparks off of it, you just push it in and it shoots sparks out of it that way.
I wish you people could have seen the hand gestures, James.
Yeah, it was definitely like I was masturbating. Yep, it's horrible. Jibber. So yeah. One of those kits will work good, and if you can buy one, I'll see if I can put the link in it.
There you go.
But yeah, you can get a dedicated mirror, keep it in a signal kit, like get an Altoids tin, throw in your whistle, your mirror in there, and then have it, you know, ready to go.
Oh, perfect.
What?
Nothing. I just saw the next thing on the list.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Now, it's a tip for all of you people out there. If you've been to jail, especially in the 90s, I hope you saved those clothing because it's going to come up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Next, not next. So yeah, mirror. Keep them all in a kit. You can't improvise reflective surfaces from various things. You know, like, what is it? There's a weird survival trick that if you have like an Altoids kit, tin, or like you find a Coke can in the wilderness and you have a piece of chocolate that's not melted, mm-hmm. you can use the chocolate as an abrasive to shine the bottom of the metal surface to make it shiny enough to reflect it like a mirror.
Saw that on an episode of Dual Survival.
Yeah.
They used it to fucking, he was trying to use it to fucking start a fire with.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to signal, but once again, it would behoove you to have these things ready to go.
You have fallen in love with the word behoove.
I do. I like that word a lot. And there'll probably be a jackass listener that writes in and says, you're mispronouncing it. You're supposed to use this letter instead of this letter. Whatever.
Fuck your couch, nigga.
Exactly. So yeah, have a mirror. Know how to make improvised, you know, reflective surfaces like that, but have one ready. And what is it? The survival mirrors and survival, some of these things are, they're not like normal mirrors. Like if you get a regular mirror, it reflects things back sort of scattered. The survival mirrors, much like stop signs, and those street signs are called retroreflective.
Uh-huh.
To where the way they reflect back is going to always sort of be like in your eye. So like if you put your headlights on a stop sign, it doesn't reflect back at the angle towards the stop sign. It reflects back towards your eye.
That's cool.
So that's why you always see it, and it looks super shiny and bright.
It really does.
Instead of like the reflection hitting back toward the ground or your headlights. So retroreflective. That's why you should get a survival signaling rated mirror over like, you know, your wife's compact. But if you have that, use it. Anyway, what are you looking at?
There's I think there's a tiny little spider descending from your ceiling.
Oh, there is. Anyway, flashlights. Flashlights you should have in your survival kit anyway.
Oh, God.
And I'm always, my philosophy on flashlights is you should always get the most lumens you can get. You know, I'd always rather have a flashlight that has more lumens and I can use a setting to make it less bright. Whereas I'd rather not have a flashlight that did not have the horsepower, the lumen power, to be able to even use. More lumens, more ability to signal.
Horsepower.
Yeah. Just
a gas-powered flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Tim Allen would make one.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember the episode where he made a gasoline-powered blender to make not smoothies, not mojitos, daiquiris.
Oh, my God.
Daiquiris on a camping trip or something.
Then they fucking had like this, he was going against this one woman, fucking construction worker, whatever. She was supposed to be, she had a fucking drill to, you know, fucking drill all these nuts down or whatever. And his was gas powered.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, he fucking drove one nut in straight all the way through the fucking bottom of the table. And she finished and won.
Yeah, yeah. He did that. That was a good show.
I mean, hell, I loved it. The first episode, Jill was telling him not to touch the dishwasher because, you know, he wanted to rewire it. And she's like, I don't want you doing to the dishwasher what you did to the blender. He's like, what's wrong with our blender? It's the only one on the block that can puree a brick.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Have a flashlight. I think we talked about we've beat into you the three pattern. SOS, rule of threes with signaling. Do that with your flashlight. Have a good flashlight. It's better to have a flashlight than no flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
But it's better to have a good flashlight than a bad flashlight.
Yep.
The newer flashlights that are brighter and LEDs, they're just superior. I mean, at this point, if you're carrying a dollar store D-cell battery flashlight, just go buy yourself an LED good one.
The LED good ones, okay, I mean, not even the good ones, but they sell cheap LED ones for a buck at Dollar Tree. I swear to God, we need to get them to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm singing their praises constantly. And, you know, okay, like James just said, it's better to have a flashlight than no flashlight, and it's better to have a good flashlight than a bad flashlight, but always remember my saying, it's always great to have backups for your backups. In my books, it's better to have two flashlights than one flashlight.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a bad flashlight and you have a few of them, then good. But I would make it a point to work on getting a good one.
Now, have a really good one and then just get a bunch of cheap ones as backups.
Yeah. Mike, here's the one that you wanted to tackle.
Orange cloth.
Yeah.
Orange stands out really, really well.
I'm having a contact issue. Just trying to do a backflip inside of my eye right now.
He means like the one in his. He means an eye contact. I'm not contacting him.
Yeah. So, and I tried to find the quote or a link for it, and I couldn't find anything. There's a survivalist.
You all right, bro?
The contact is really fucking me up.
On the backside of your eyeball or something?
It's doing something. John McCann. He has a survival website.
And, yeah, ran for president?
No, that's McCain. This is McCann.
Okay.
He did a test one time, and orange was the most visible color over huge distances. Like, they were signaling each other with, like, orange bandanas, big bandanas, not like normal bandanas, like huge, like, 1 yard by 1 yard bandanas. Over miles. And, you know, this is like good conditions. This was like from a mountaintop to the ground somewhere, and they're signaling with them. And the orange color was the most visible over the longest distances. And there's a reason why orange is required, and orange is used for orange and bright neon yellow are used for like safety vests and hunter vests.
Because they get spotted so fucking easily. Why do you think all the cones on the road are fucking orange? Why do you think all the barrels are orange? Why do you think the safety vests are all orange? Why? Because you see them.
Yeah. So there's a couple ways to carry an orange with you. Not the eating orange, but the color orange.
You can put
color the orange with you. No. You can get these big orange survival bandanas, and some of them even have like, what is it? They have survival quick tip info stuff printed on them. Like, this is how you signal SOS, and this is edible things. Like, it has information printed on it. You can get one of those, and I recommend them. I'm going to pick up one soon. But the upgraded Mylar blanket, the Mylar tarp, it's the Mylar reflective blanket part on one side, and the back side is orange. A shiny orange reflective metallic Mylar.
I've got one of those in my bug out bag, I think.
Yeah, those are, oh yeah, you do. I gave you that one there's an upgraded one to that that's thicker. Thicker and insulated. But yeah, they like Mike said, Mike has those, what is it? It's talk for a second.
Hello. He's left me alone at the microphone. So this is my time to shine. United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba.
Shut up. The Adventure Medical Kits, they have a better Mylar blanket than the cheap junky ones. Whereas it's metallic Mylar on one side and then bright orange on the other side, so you have a signal thing built in there. And that would be a way to carry your orange. Another thing that I've done is, you know, we all carry duct tape in our kits.
Yes.
And, you know, on top of just the regular duct tape, I'll carry in some of the bright Hunter Orange duct tape.
Yes.
So I can mark it on trees, mark it on, you know, so I can make, you can make a marker out of that.
Interestingly enough, when you gave me my, my first starter bug out bag, the bug out bag that you made for me that I've improved upon a bit over there.
Yeah.
Like, you wrapped, like, everything in there in, like, orange duct tape.
Yeah. I mean, it makes – okay, so something that I like to do sometimes is wrap some of my gear at least in a thin layer, if not a larger layer, to actually have usable duct tape on my items because it makes them easier to find if you drop them. A lot of survival gear – and you know what? Maybe – no, never mind.
What?
I was like, maybe I should start – putting a little bright orange duct tape on my disc golf disc to find them that way, but it may throw off the trajectory a little.
Yeah,
bit.
That may screw with the aerodynamics.
Maybe I'll just buy orange discs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've heard of people putting little strips of glow tape on them just so they can play in the nighttime, so maybe that doesn't – I don't know.
And plus, they sell – they actually sell them
glow discs
with built-in LED lights and stuff for night
– yeah.
Yeah, because it's a whole thing about night play.
I don't
– They'll have fucking whole nighttime tournaments and shit.
I just want to – there's one.
We're going to go play disc golf locally. After we get done with this.
We are. But yeah, orange tape, just have something orange with you. Bandanas, cloths, whatever. Have something orange with you.
Tangelo.
It's the most reflective. It's not the most reflective. It's the most visible color to signal with. So have orange.
And if you can't get orange...
Yellow would be a secondary.
What about bright red, like your deodorant over there?
Orange is more visible.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the secondary color that they use for like safety vests and stuff like that is usually that bright, like almost greenish yellow.
Yeah.
That
safety
really bright
yellow.
Neon yellow. Yeah.
So
which I guess would be the second most visible color.
Those two would be the two colors to go to. It would be.
And think about it. In most situations you're in, most places where you're going to be stuck. Orange, bright orange is going to stick out like a sore fucking thumb.
Yeah. Unless you're stuck in like, you know, a forest in the fall.
Oh, God.
Where there's orange leaves in the ground.
But
even then, it's such a different color.
Even then, that bright neon orange just sticks out.
It does. So, yeah.
Nothing else in nature has that color outside of maybe somewhere in a botanical garden or something.
If you can get yellow, the neon yellow, safety vest yellow, for free or cheap... That's the only reason I think you should choose that over orange.
Yeah, I mean, it is the color that, like, most police use and stuff like that and construction workers now for their safety vests, that bright yellow.
Yeah.
Especially in England.
Yeah. So, I you know, if someone's like, hey, I get this safety vest, you can have it for your bug-out bag. Yeah, sure.
You know, and I'd
but if you're buying it, get orange.
And I'd be willing to bet anything that the reason most police for safety vests use yellow is because orange has got such a stigmata about being, you know, prison inmate colors.
Maybe, yeah.
I would bet anything.
It'd be worth looking into.
Yeah.
Lasers. Lasers is kind of a fringe thing. Like, if you have
laser pointer?
Yeah, if you have a good laser pointer.
And we're talking about a good one. These cheap ones won't have the range that a good
one. No, you need a powerful one.
This is one place I'm going to poo-poo on a product from Dollar Tree. The Dollar Tree laser pointers, they're great for fucking with your cat.
Cats,
for a
that's
while,
it, yeah.
But they're not worth a damn for signaling.
No. You need a good one, and it's one of those fringe things, like, if you have one, then sure, you can use it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to get a good one just to signal with.
I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket either, I mean, because you think about it. A laser point is a very, very small thing.
It is, but it goes so far if you get a good one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could, I mean, and it could potentially save your life, but, I mean, a laser dot is something that could also be very easily missed.
Right. So, yeah, smoke them if you got them, boys, but
yeah.
I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket. you know, and if you do have a cheap laser pointer, it can go a little distance, but you're not going to get, you're going to get a lot of out of it. So
anything is better than nothing, but good is better than shitty.
Exactly. And I think we've made that point pretty thoroughly. Hey, we're getting the last point. And, then I have to take a poop myself, actually. Mm-hmm. Debris. So Mike mentioned this earlier, so we don't really go long on it, but you know, if you're stuck somewhere and you have a clearing, gather debris, garbage, downed trees that you're not going to use, rotted woods you're not going to be able to burn, obviously, mm-hmm. and make your SOS signal.
Make it as big as it allowable.
Yeah, the rocks, bigger the better. Whatever, and make it contrasting.
The bigger it is, the more easily it's seen from above.
If you need to leave, make sure you leave arrows pointing the direction that you went.
Yep.
You want to leave as much big information easily, like SOS. Easy to understand. There's no misinterpreting that.
I mean, it's universal. I mean, every country in the world will recognize an SOS.
Yeah, and the arrow is universal. Doesn't matter what language you speak, SOS and an arrow. Oh, dude needs help. He went that way. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, easy. Don't try to get too, you know, if you start writing more and more, then it's going to be hard to get big enough. And you run into language barriers and whatnot. You want it to be as universal, easy to understand as possible, and, you know, as less amount of letters as possible. SOS, three letters.
You know what? And another thing, it's always this just popped into my head, and it's something we didn't even discuss on this. Signaling stationary versus portability. It's always good, you know, stationary items versus portable items.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I saw in that Cook Islands episode of Survivor Man, he was trying to use his fucking diver's knife to signal with, you know, as a signaling thing, because a knife can be reflective.
Right.
But he realized the fatal flaw. He bought a titanium diver's knife so it wouldn't rust in the water. But titanium is not a shiny metal.
It's not. Not at all. No. So, that's something to think about. So, there's a... Real quick, I want to run over some of the signals. Like, if you see a plane flying overhead, SOS is what you need to write with your debris.
Mm-hmm.
But if the plane sees you and there is a, once your message has been seen and understood, the pilot will rock the plane's wings from side to side,
yep.
or at nighttime will flash a green light. If the pilot makes a right-hand circle or flashes a red light, your message has been seen but not understood. Once again, SOS, keep it simple, guys. The most important thing is it has been seen. During daytime where they can actually see you, so one of the things you can do with your hands or with, like, your debris on the ground is, like, write some of these messages. So K, just the letter K will be tell me which direction to go. I don't really know how the plane would do that. Maybe fly off in that direction. Or you can form it with your hands. You know, you stand up straight and then you put your, you know, hand up, hand down, arm up, arm, leg out, whatever.
You ever been a cheerleader? You know how to do this.
Yeah. The letter I, serious injuries, need doctor. You're conveying that to the plane, obviously.
Yeah.
Two eyes. So some of these are universal, so they're recognized by rescue teams. Two eyes, need medical supplies. The letter X, unable to proceed. This is kind of how you can, like, communicate with the airplane.
I'm stuck right here.
What? Oh, yeah. Unable to proceed. The letter F, need food and water. Probably no shit, to be honest. Direction, traveling in this direction, and the arrow. Arrows. We talked about that. The letter L, need fuel. Okay, well.
I mean, that could be a feasible thing. I mean, you're out in your fucking boat, which is not a sailboat or whatever.
Yeah.
And you fucking run out of fuel and you have to coast to a fucking island. Yeah, you're stuck here. I'd be fine if I had any gas.
Right. Two L's, all is well.
Why would you fucking signal, all's well, no, bye.
I mean, maybe if you're just walking in the wilderness and the plane's overhead and they think you need help, you could signal them. No, I'm good.
I mean, if you're in the woods and a plane starts flapping its wings at you or whatever, make two L's, you know, like, I'm good.
Yeah. So in the ground will mean no. And if you put one arm up and I think one arm down and out, that's a no that no, you don't just the no. Arms up YMCA style, guys, if you remember that. The YMCA. Means yes, two question marks, not understood. And I will put these in the show notes so that you could see them.
Mm-hmm.
And and practice them. Yeah. So yeah, that's how you can signal and communicate with an airplane. And I think that's everything we've got for this episode.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's the end of the list at 1 hour. So good job.
You mean we actually finished a list in a timely manner at a preset time that we've always aimed for?
Yeah, we're good about that.
Huh. We broke with tradition.
Yeah.
And on that terrible disappointment, I guess it means that's time to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett.
So remember, signal, but don't put all those letters down at the same time. They're just going to think you're spelling out weird shit and probably leave your drunk ass there.
DIY to signal. Use guys.
Use guys.
Of green cage you smell. Stepped out the backseat of a 78 Chevelle. Club wasn't jumping, so we had to bail. Finna check out the next spot. My click is about to wreck shop. We don't dance, we just bop. You run up, you get dropped. Parking lot crunk. Thugs in the drug pushers. Yeah, you know the steelo. Bluffing us up with first. Car full of white boys. There's no doubt. If some shit go down, Slim be the first one out. Locked up with a fool three times his size. What you need on your team when it's time to ride? A bunch of dirty white boys that's not for the game. We will take your ass to war like Saddam Hussein. If you kick my ass, you got to do it again. Every time that you see me till I finally win. And then I'm kicking your ass until I'm content. You gonna be walking around for months wearing my fingerprints. I'm none of them goofy white boys from the movies. Talk shit and have to shoot you hardcore. Absolutely. Take it, cross your face with a nickel plated. I think my dog just got dislocated. I'm home for the night, boy.
I'm in it.
Get
on the
lookout
for
us. It's on for the night.
At 11:36. Turned out Second Ave in a big body bitch. Mean mugging haters, heads bobbing up and down. Hollin' Southside out the window, my people don't fuck around. It's like they looking for a reason to straight climb. When we get gone on that doing it straight crown. 100 proof absolute, riding round blazing.
All cars be on the lookout for a car full of Caucasians.
Eyes so tight we could pass for A.
So if they pull us over, play like you don't speak English.
Had some pretty gals, I told my boy to slow down. Man, your ride's a piece of junk, the window won't roll down. We didn't get no play from the ladies, nah. Six crackers in the car,
are you crazy?
I'm real with the crows, I ain't bout to front. Man, we out of blunts, pull over, fool.
It's on for the night, boy.
Car full of white. I'm getting it, get on the lookout for it.
Car full of white.
It's on for the night, boy.
Car full of white. Car full of white.
It's on for the night, boy.
Car full of white.
Dispatch, we've got a visual on
car the full of white.
It's on for the night, boy.
Car full of white.
Stopped at Circle K and got a box of sweets. Smoke one, now we feeling like
something to